Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Corinthians 2:14 in the New King James Version. I want to give this to you because this is what I want to minister to your heart tonight is I've titled this message, Living in Perpetual Triumph. I want to say that one more time. Living a life in perpetual triumph. That means that God has purposed your life to be in such a way where you're not bouncing in and out of freedom. You're not bouncing in and out of slavery and bondage. How many know whom the sun sets free is free indeed? I'm telling you tonight, you can leave tonight knowing and rest assured that the power of the Holy Spirit will keep you and will keep you living a life of victory. Someone say victory. Perpetual means ongoing, continually. So that's why I've titled this message, Perpetual Triumph, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always, everybody say always, leads us into triumph in Christ Jesus. And through that, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I don't know if you know this, but when you live a life of victory, you actually you give off this fragrance in a lost and broken world that the more and more you look like Jesus and more you're living a life in victory and in triumph, it doesn't matter where you go, there's this fragrance that begins to come off of you into a lost and broken world, and it's called the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So I want to give you some keys tonight very quickly on living this life of perpetual triumph. Living a life of perpetual victory where you don't have to go back to the enslavement of this world again, where you can leave here tonight healed, whole, set free, and walking in victory to victory. Can you say amen tonight? That's what God has destined for our lives. The Bible says he always, someone say always, that's not sometimes, that's not maybe, that's always. He always leads us into triumph. Triumph means great success. Triumph actually means there in the Greek, it means to parade or have a processional. Some of you have been living downcast. Some of you had your head held low. Some of you have been in oppression and depression. But God's called us to live a life of victory, to parade, hallelujah, to live high, to live in a place of great conquering and victory, and because the enemy's been defeated. Can you say amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says that a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them any longer in heaven. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation. Everybody say salvation. Salvation. Everybody say strength. Strength. Someone say the kingdom of our God. Last one, and the power of our Christ. Hallelujah, I love that. Has come for the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night. He has been cast down. And they overcame. Someone say triumph. Someone say victory. Someone say I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down. And you having great wrath, because the Bible says he knows he has a short time. I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil's been defeated. Jesus has died, he is risen, and he has ascended. Hallelujah. He's nothing more. The devil's nothing more but smoke, mirrors, lies, and deception. He's the accuser of the brethren, but my Bible says he's been cast down. He has been defeated. And you and I can live now a life of triumph, a life of victory, where we go from victory to victory and faith unto faith. We walk in the power and in the anointing and in the glory of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, we carry this fragrance that God desires for you and I to give off wherever we go. How many of you have ever been in a place that goes, something's different about you? It's a fragrance. Some people, they look at you and they just go the other way. It's a fragrance. The Bible says for some it leads to salvation, but for others it leads unto death. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, everyone who's born of God, look at your neighbor, say, that's you. If you're born of God, you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says everyone who's born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Everybody say faith. Romans 5:17 says that faith cometh, or faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. I came tonight to give you a word of faith. I came tonight to give you a word straight out of the Holy Bible, because it's the word of God that builds faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You say, what could I apply to my life tonight? What could I get into my spirit tonight that would keep me living a life of perpetual triumph? You've got to get faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. You've got to be a person of the word of God. You've got to be a person of the spirit. You've got to get God's word in your spirit, man, that builds faith for you to live in this lost, broken world where you go from victory to victory because you're a man, a woman, and a young person of faith. So I'm believing God tonight through the preaching of faith that there's going to be a divine shift in your life. Doesn't mean that you won't have maybe a moment of weakness, and I'm not going to stand here and tell you everyone's perfect. How many perfect believers are in the house tonight? But what I am telling you is by faith and by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the word of your testimony, you can live a life of perpetual victory and triumph through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, perpetual victory. Come on, tell them. Tell them, say, it's yours. When you read the book of Revelation, I believe it's important to say this. The book of Revelation is not the book of Revelations. It's one revelation. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation at the very first page, before you get to chapter one, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. He came. How many know he came born of a virgin? He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the heavens. And the book of Revelation gives us much about apocalyptic events because we know he is coming back again. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Glorious church means a church in victory, a church that's conquering. Hallelujah. A church that's walking in triumph. I want to be in that number. How about you? So the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and I tell you, verse 10 has enough faith in it for you to leave tonight ready to just go from victory to victory. I love verse 10. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ has come, and the accuser of the brethren has accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Friend, there's enough faith in that for you to leave here tonight and say, devil, you've been defeated. Hallelujah. You're under Christ's feet. You're under my feet. Jesus ascended, I've ascended. I sit with him in heavenly places. You've been defeated, devil. You have no control of my life. Can you say a louder amen tonight? The Bible says in 1 John 3:8 that the purpose of the Son of God was made manifest. Why did Jesus come? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Revelation 12 gives us that picture, gives us that understanding of when that war broke out in heaven and Lucifer fell. And Jesus said it in Luke 10. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and snakes and overcome all the power of the enemy. But the revelation of Christ in all of this is that it goes a step further, that the accuser of the brethren didn't just fall out of heaven, that Jesus would come. Hallelujah. He would take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He would rise and say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and the accuser of the brethren has been defeated. And the book of Revelation gives us the revelation of Jesus Christ and the power of our Christ that belongs to you. And it belongs to me, and he will always now lead us into triumph over the accuser of the brethren, because he has been cast down. Because Jesus has come, we now have salvation, deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. According to verse 10, because Jesus has come, the kingdom of God has come now. And the Bible says in Luke 17, 21, that the kingdom of God is within you. Do you know the power that you possess through Jesus Christ? Because Jesus has come, we now have the Holy Spirit, who according to verse 10, strengthens us. Strength has come because Christ has come. It empowers us, and it leads us always into a life of victory. I believe we could just stop right there, say amen, go home and say hallelujah. The devil's been defeated. I overcome. You overcome. We overcome. Come on, kings overcomes. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive in Alaska. And Alaska, hallelujah, shall be saved because Jesus has come. Can you say amen? That Greek word to overcome. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Don't miss this. That word overcame is nikao in the Greek, and it means this: to be victorious over every foe, to conquer. Now, don't miss this part: to legally win the case when arraigned. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever been arraigned in court? I know there's a few of you here tonight. That's all right. Hey, listen. I'm no stranger to the courtroom myself. Not lately, praise the Lord. My first visit, I was 15. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus that sets people free? Hallelujah. I had another visit in the courtroom about 11 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. We had just moved to Nome, Alaska. I took my boys out ptarmigan hunting. And now, I got to be honest, in Western Alaska, you forget dates and times. Yeah, I mean, truly, you just live life out there. And it was springtime, and I said, let's go get some ptarmigan, boys, and we come back. And before we left, I checked the regulations, and I just double-checked. I couldn't find ptarmigan anywhere in the book. And I'm searching. I couldn't find ptarmigan. Well, I just made an assumption. How many know you should never assume when it comes to the law? I just made an assumption. I remember reading years before that when living in a monarch that you could kill like 30 a day or something like that. So I just figured, well, maybe they just said they're always in season. Now let's go, boys. And I get back and we shot maybe two or three. And I get back and I said to my wife, I go, you know, my boys were just young at the time. You know, could barely hold the 22. And I said, you know, I'm just going to double check the book again. I know I read it before, and I get to the last page in the book. Now, it's not even in the unit. It's the last page of the book. And I said to my wife, I go, oh, man, I said, these birds are out of season. And when I said that, I didn't realize my boys were behind me. Those birds are illegal. Now, as a father, I have a choice to make. Am I going to teach my boys now to do the right thing, or am I going to teach them that we cover our sins? I said, boys, we got to do the right thing. So my wife made a bird pie. We gave it to our neighbor who was an elder. And I ended up going down to the trooper station first thing Monday morning. I said, hey, I made a mistake and blah, blah, blah. Oh, the trooper says, don't worry. Now, before I go any further in this, if you're in law enforcement, listen, I have utmost respect for all law enforcement. Come on, we honor those who serve in such a way. But this law enforcement officer, he was a little different. I'll put it that way. He says, oh, you know, you turned yourself in. It's no big deal. You know, this is a minor offense. No problem. He says, but you still got to go to court. And I'm like, what do you mean I got to go to court? I turned myself in. No, it's the law. You got to go to court. I said, okay, whatever. No big deal, he says. Well, I go down to court. Sure enough, it's just me, the judge. I wish there was some witnesses there today. It was just me and the judge and the trooper across the aisle, and the trooper gets to speak first, and he pulls out a previous offense from 5 years before. And it's accusation after accusation, and begins to say things like, Mr. Jones, he's a repeat offender. Mr. Jones is this. Mr. Jones, he knew what he was doing. I'm telling you what he said. He said, he's not just a repeat offender. I believe he knew what he was doing to illegally take those. And he threw the book at me to the point where the judge goes, what do you recommend? He says, I recommend criminal charges. I'm sitting there and I'm going, I should have got a lawyer. The judge turns to me and says, what do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Jones? And I won't say everything I said, but I started out by saying, well, Your Honor, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've strived to live my life in integrity, honesty, and truth. And what the trooper failed to say was I turned myself in. And I began to just plead my case before the judge. I watched that judge turn his head, look at me, and smile. And favor came my way. Hallelujah. And he goes, and he spoke to the trooper. He goes, let me tell you, and he rebuked the trooper because the trooper hid the facts. Listen, the one who was accusing me hid the truth. Are you catching what I'm pitching right now? I said the one who was accusing me hid the facts and hid the truth and made all kinds of accusations to some or even came it off as like it was untruthful and a lie. But that judge, he turned with a smile. He turned with favor. And he said, let me tell you, we're not doing this. We're not doing that. And he said, Mr. Jones, there won't be any fines. There won't be any years of probation. There'll be nothing. He said, but one thing we can't avoid is a $15 court fee. When can you pay that, sir? I said, I'll pay it right now. Have a nice day. I walked out of that courtroom. I'll never forget walking down Front Street and know my head was held high. It was like I was a parade. Hallelujah. I had conquered. I had triumphed. But I learned something in the courtroom. Hallelujah. There is a courtroom in heaven. And the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the accuser of the brethren has been defeated. And that word overcome means to legally win the case. When you are arraigned. Now listen to what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Think of this, my own story here. You being dead in your trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Which was contrary to us. He has taken them out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. He has disarmed principalities. He has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Hallelujah. I watched the judge make a public spectacle of the accuser who came against me, and I watched favor turn towards me, and that's just like our God through Jesus Christ. There's one who yaps, 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 nips at your ankles. He's just a dog. He's just a squatter. His name is Satan. His name is the devil of old. He has been cast down. He just talks, 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 talks. But Jesus said, I've risen. Hallelujah, in victory. Hallelujah. have taken out the handwriting requirements that was against them. And in the courtroom of heaven, you have won the legal case, and you win every time. I don't care what you came in with tonight, what level of sin you're walking in, what circumstance you're facing. I came to tell you tonight, there is victory in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And it has been sealed. It has been accomplished. It is finished, says Jesus. There's no case in the court of heaven. There's no legal right that Satan has in your life when you apply the blood of Jesus. He's just smoke and mirrors. I said he's just smoke and mirrors. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 or 6:20 says you've been bought with a price. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22 that the law requires, there's a requirement by the law that everything must be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. I want you to understand that it's in the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say the blood of the Lamb. Number one, we have salvation and deliverance. And it's not a half-baked job. I'm glad about two of you agree with that. Salvation and deliverance is not a half-baked job in the blood of Jesus. We see the blood of the Lamb and the foreshadow of what would come with Christ in Exodus chapter 12 and the Passover Lamb and the blood that was applied on the doorposts. And everywhere that the blood was applied, the destroyer had to pass over. Wave at me if you're familiar with the story. Well, get these things in your spirit. Number one, there was complete deliverance and salvation for all of the Israelites. And the Bible says it happened on the very same day that the blood was applied. Exodus 12:41, it came to pass after 430 years, on the very same day it came to pass that the armies of the Lord went out from Egypt. How many know that there wasn't one Israelite left behind? How many know that it was on the day the blood was applied? They came out completely out of Pharaoh's hand. They came out completely out of demon power and bondage and enslavement. And Egypt is that land of sin. And they were completely delivered, completely set free. The blood of Jesus has set us free the moment we turn our hearts to Him and we confess with our mouth to Him that He is Lord of our lives. We are instantly delivered. The devil just doesn't want you to know that. The deceiver just doesn't want you to get that revelation in your spirit. Because as long as he can get you to believe that there's still a piece of you left back in Egypt, you'll go back to Egypt. But I came to tell you tonight, the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, there's been a price that has been paid in the courtroom of heaven. You've been bought with a price, and it's the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the moment you apply the blood through faith and confession and receiving Jesus as your Savior, Satan has no legal right in your life any longer. There's total deliverance from every bondage and every yoke. All, the Bible says, all the armies of Egypt went out. There was also a transition from disease and infirmity and lack into the favor and the blessing and the divine healing power of God. Did you know that? That on the same day the blood was applied, there was a transference of wealth and blessing and increase that came to the Israelites. And on the same day, they came out completely whole in their physical bodies. Now, I want you to think for a moment. How many lies the devil likes to speak? And he says, oh, you're not going to make it financially if you tithe. You can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe and give above your tithe. Thank you for those three tithers out there tonight. But the devil lies. He's a deceiver. Joyce Meyer wrote a book years ago called The Battlefield of the Mind. You've got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ and His Word. The Bible says in Psalms 105:37, he brought the Israelites out with the silver and the gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes. Pastor Tim mentioned tonight that we're going to pray for the sick tonight. I can't heal anybody. All I have is faith to agree with you. And we've seen God do thousands of miracles. I mean, just thousands, countless. I've lost track years ago of the power of God that heals and sets people free. How does it come? It comes by what was accomplished in the courts of heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that sickness and disease came into this earth through Satan and his deception and his lies? God never intended it. God didn't design it. It came through Lucifer. It came from that serpent of old. Sickness and disease came through the fall of man. But there's another Adam whose name is Jesus. There's a final Adam whose name is Jesus. I said there's a last Adam who spilled his blood to break the power of sin, to break the power of death, and to break the power of sickness, disease, and poverty. And his name is Jesus. There was a transfer of power and authority because of the blood. The Bible says in Exodus 12, they plundered the Egyptians. Whew. Let me ask you a question tonight. What great work, just a question to consider, what great work did the Israelites do to deserve this? In one moment's time, a transfer of finances, blessing. Galatians 3 tells us that through faith in Jesus Christ, even the Gentiles now have the blessing of Abraham. Just read the life of Abraham. He was rich. He was blessed. He was well from the Lord. Amen. We have the same blessing. What did the Israelites do to deserve this deliverance, this salvation, this authority to turn to their masters who would beat them and whip them and enslave them to where they turn and say, hey, give me your gold, give me your silver, I like your clothing too, give that to me. And they plundered the Egyptians. Think of that. On the same day the blood was applied. Friend, what you got to understand is the devil doesn't want you to hear these things. He doesn't want you to have the knowledge and the revelation of what took place in your life the moment the blood was applied. Because the moment this awakening comes within you, faith then comes that when he comes breathing his lies and his deceptions, you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one because you've got now the shield of faith. Question to consider, what did they do to deserve it? Everybody say nothing. They didn't deserve it. What good work did the Israelites do to earn their deliverance from Pharaoh in Egypt? They didn't do anything to deserve what God had given them. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it's for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When I think of the blood of Jesus, and John the Baptist said, he said, behold the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. When I think of the blood of the Lamb, and the Bible says in Revelation, in the revelation of Jesus Christ, we overcome this accuser who has already been cast down by the blood of the Lamb. When I think of the blood of the Lamb, friend, I can't help but see what's at the center of the blood. And what's at the center of the blood is God's unending, unconditional, eternal love. What's in the center of the blood is the love of God. Everybody say love. The foundation of the blood is love. No greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friends, John 15, 13. Jesus in Luke 22, 20, when he took the cup after supper, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. What did you deserve? Or what did you do to deserve this kind of love? Nothing. Nothing. There's no good work that you've done. There's no good work that I've done that keeps me into victory. I'll tell you what I heard the Spirit say tonight. He said, tell my people that their continual, perpetual victory is found when they're rooted in my love. when they understand how much I love them, when they understand the price that was paid for them, have them understand, let them hear tonight. I heard the Spirit say, tell my people, their victory is in my love. Come on, is victory not found in the blood? What caused that blood to be spilled was love. Love for you, love for me. Even Jesus said, I could call 12,000 angels down and smite them all. But he willingly gave his life out of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 5:8, that God would demonstrate his own love for us. That while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. Friend, no greater love has any man than lay down his life for his friend. The greatest demonstration of love that you will ever know is the love of God through Jesus Christ, who you did nothing to deserve it. You deserved hell. I deserved damnation. I deserved bondage. But God did it through his mercy. God did it through his grace. God did it through his Son. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't earn your victory. You can't earn your triumph. You already have it in the blood, because his love is greater than your sin. His love is greater than the devil. His love is greater than disease and oppression and depression. My God, I'm about to shout this place down tonight. It's his unending, unconditional love. Do you know what jacks people up when I talk to them? When I tell them how much God loves them. This world's dying to know that there's a God out there who loves them. I think part of the problem is much of the church doesn't yet have that revelation on how much God really loves them. See, real faith will rest. Well, how do we overcome the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Someone say, my faith. Real faith rests. When the enemy comes in like a flood, yes, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, you have to find that place in faith where you know, oh, he's just a defeated foe. The blood's going to do the talking for me. Can you say amen? The blood of Christ has caused him now to become our advocate, the Bible says. We now have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In that courtroom in Nome, Alaska, after that mistake, I didn't have an advocate. I screamed on the inner man, I said, I need a lawyer. I mean, when they start talking like five-figure fines, how many know you need a lawyer? We have an advocate. What is an advocate? Advocate means one who pleads the case on your behalf. You don't deserve that. You didn't earn it. And he's far greater than a public defender. Can you say amen? His name is Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's one who prays and mediates and intervenes currently and constantly and continually on our behalf right now. You know, right now he's praying for you. Jesus is not a dead God. He's alive forevermore. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he is continually and constantly making intercession for you on your behalf. So why do we get downcast? Why do we get depressed? Why do we get bound? Get a knowledge and an understanding. God loves me so much. He's praying for me. Romans 8:31 through 39 says, what shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen to this. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? There's no accusation. There's no accuser of the brethren. It is God who justifies, makes you just as though you've never sinned. Who is he who condemns? Romans 8:1 before this says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is Christ who died, who is risen, who is seated at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who can separate us from this kind of love, the Bible says? Goes on to say, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do you conquer? Through his love. by abiding and resting in God's love. Then lastly here, very quickly, and we're going to pray. We overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, and everybody say the word of my testimony. Now, truthfully, I could preach probably a three-week series out of this text I gave you tonight. But this word is the word of our testimony. Let me say this. You don't have a testimony without the blood. You don't have something to throw in the face of the devil without the blood applied. How does one apply the blood of Jesus? By coming into agreement with what has been accomplished with the blood. That is how you apply the blood of the Lamb. I mean, you could go home tonight, slap yourself in the head and say, I apply the blood of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. But you apply the blood of the Lamb to your life by coming into agreement with the blood. Someone say a word of agreement. The word of your testimony is a word of agreement. Romans 10, 8 through 10 says, the word is near you, and the word is in your mouth, and the word is in your heart. That word of faith which we preach, Paul said, that if you confess with your mouth, someone say, that's a word, the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, Christ died for the whole world. Would you agree? But how many understand? Not everybody's saved. Not everybody's on the highway to heaven. Some are on the highway to hell. The blood doesn't get applied to a life that is bound in sin and destruction and death until they, by faith from their heart, and let their heart come into agreement with their mouth and make a confession. Come on, they make a word of agreement with what the blood has already accomplished. The same is true when it comes to you living a life of perpetual victory. It's daily you coming into agreement with what God has said he has done for you through your own word, through your own lips. That word in the Greek, the word of our testimony, it's actually logos, but the root word of logos is Lego, and it's not the toys we play with. But that root word means this, listen, to break the silence. Can I tell you that the devil would love to shut you up? Don't ever let the devil silence your voice. Don't ever let him get you into a place of loneliness and depression and gloominess and sadness to a level to where you feel like you don't have anybody to talk to. You can't even talk to God. He would love to just shut you up and keep you bound. But the word of our testimony is you rising up with a word that breaks the silence. So number one, don't let the devil take your voice. And when you do speak, your words better match the word of the living God. Do not come into agreement with the lies that he spews and that he vomits in your mind. You'll never add up. You'll never measure up. You'll never be good enough. You'll be just like your father. You'll be just like your mother. Don't you know it's hereditary? Don't you know it was passed down through your DNA? Don't you know? And don't ever come into agreement with your word with the lies that are sent from the pit of hell. Your word should always match the testimony. One more minute. There's two ways you break the silence. Number one, you break it in your daily confession. You'd do very well to watch the words that come out of your mouth. How many know death and life are in the power of the... You know, James actually speaks of a ship that is thrown around by fierce winds, but is controlled by a little rudder. And it goes on to say, and so the tongue. You know, if you're here tonight and you say, well, my words aren't really that important, I would challenge you with something. Because did not God create the entire universe and set everything into order by a word he spoke? And you say, well, that's God. Absolutely. But then God created man in his likeness and in his image to take dominion on the earth, to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. It means take dominion, take authority. And God created us to look like him, to be like him, to be this agent of God on the earth, to take dominion and to walk in authority. And he created our body and fashioned us in such a way, he put this thing in our mouth called the tongue. The tongue directs the course of your life. Just like a rudder on a ship directs the course of the ship, your tongue actually is a creative force in your life. You say, wow, is it really that important? Why do you think Jesus said we will have to give an account before God for every idle word we speak on the day of judgment? Because he created us to be people of authority. Every word that comes out of our mouth is an authoritative word because we are designed by heaven, designed by God. Are you hearing me, someone? The same God who spoke a word, caused the earth to go into motion, put a tongue in us, and he said, you will overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Jesus did it. But you'll overcome by your action of coming into agreement with the word of the testimony. Do you know what that testimony means in the Greek? It means to go on record. I won't ask again, once again for a show of hands, but how many of you have maybe gone on record before in the courtroom? You've had to testify. You've had to be a witness. Are we not witnesses of what the blood has done in our lives? Are we not witnesses and living, walking testimonies of the work of God? Let me tell you here tonight, I want to just be very practical for a moment. Some of you may need to go home and just write in the mirror that you do your makeup or you do your hair or whatever. Just write in the mirror, I am a child of God. It may be that simple for you that a daily confession to overcoming this darkness and this evil in your life is say, it's the joy of the Lord that gives me strength. I am a child of God. Oh, I'm an heir and a co-heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a somebody. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works of God. Hallelujah. I'm somebody in the kingdom of God. I am redeemed. I have been bought with a price. I am a child of God. Can you say amen? It may be just that simple for you. But I tell you, the more you confess it, you say, well, I don't feel it. The more you confess it, this reality will become your reality. Just like a ship is steered by that little rudder, our tongue directs the course of our life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen? Let's stand up on our feet. We're going to pray. Some of you tonight, hear me. If when we speak, if when we testify is like us going on the record, hear me tonight. Some of you need to go on the record and declare over your mind and over your body and over your family what has been accomplished on the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's that simple. Tonight we're going to lay hands. We're going to believe by faith that God heals you, sets you free, and brings you into this life of freedom and joy, deliverance and healing, and you'll live a life of perpetual triumph. We're believing for that with you tonight. But some of you need to go on record verbally. You have to break the silence. So, hey, you don't know what the doctor said. No, I know what the Bible says. And there was none feeble among them. Scholars agree that it's almost 2 million people came out of Egypt. Some will say not one. And Hebrews tells me we have a better covenant based on better promises, because we have Jesus. Break the silence. Some of you need to stop talking to your friends about this and about that and how you... No. Just break the silence with the word of your testimony. There's actually two ways you break the silence. Daily confession, and you break the silence through praise. You know, praise isn't praise till it comes out of your mouth. Praise isn't this. You feel that? Oh, you feel. Let me tell you something. Praise comes out of your mouth. The Bible tells us that when King Jehoshaphat sent out the worshipers, you know what they praised God? When you read that text, they praised him for his holiness. They praised him for who he is. And the enemy was defeated, and they turned on one another, and they were all left dead because of praise. Praise is verbal. See, you make a confession through praise. The word of your testimony is a word of faith spoken. Well, I feel this way, but you declare what God's word says. You declare what the testimony says. And then there's praise. That's why you'll never see me turn on Christian radio and start listening to the hogwash that some of those songs put out. Everybody struggles. You'll always be depressed. I mean, it's just like, I'd rather listen to a country song. Amen. Then listen to some of Christian radio. Because what happens is you start just singing along. Next thing you know, you wonder why you're depressed. Because you came into agreement with something with the word of your testimony. You came on record with it, you see. Testimony is a record in the Greek. And some of you need to go on record tonight and say, devil, you hear me? You've had enough in my life, in my home, and in my family, in my mind, in my body. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus does the talking. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus does the rebuking. The blood of Jesus does what I can't do for myself. The blood of Jesus has sealed it in the courts of heaven. And devil, I'm going on record tonight. Depression, you don't hold me any longer in Jesus' name. Loneliness, you don't hold me any longer in Jesus' name. You know, Brother David, Dr. David said it tonight. It was a word of the Lord, because just before I came to church, it's actually in my notes. Some of you need to go on the record and say, devil, you're done in my marriage tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God will put a love back in your home. God will put a love back in your marriage. He's a defeated foe, but we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you're here tonight, before we go any further, you say, my life's not right with God, preacher. I never preach a service without giving people opportunity to apply the blood of Jesus and to come into agreement with salvation tonight. The one who loves you so much, he died for you. He gave his life for you on the cross. And he brought you into this place tonight. He's just asking you, will you turn to me? Will you come into agreement with me and through my blood and through my body and through the cross and through my resurrection? Will you follow me, God's asking? And if you'll just come into agreement by faith and with a word, for it's with the heart, the Bible says, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth a confession or a word is made unto salvation. The Bible says you'll be saved. If you're here tonight, you say, that's me, preacher. Listen, I don't usually ask for a bow of head, a close of eyes. God's not looking for private Christians. He's not looking for closet Christians. He's looking for people who will be the fragrance of Christ in the earth, because they've come out of sin and they've come out of darkness and they've come into victory through Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you say, my life is not right with God. I need to receive Christ tonight. I need to apply the blood for salvation. I want to make a confession with you, preacher. You say, what's that going to take tonight? It's going to take some faith, and it's going to take some courage. It's going to take courage, because I will ask you to come and meet with me at the front and pray what's called a sinner's prayer. It's just a very simple prayer of surrendering your heart to Jesus. And one prayer that God always hears, hear me very clearly, one prayer God always hears is a prayer of repentance. He never turns away a repentant heart. If you're here tonight and you say, that's me, just take your right hand, lift it high right now. Right now, don't hesitate. Say a prayer for me, preacher. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Anyone to my left tonight? Yes, yes. Just keep your hand lifted high without shame. All three of you. Yes, in the back, holding the baby. Yes, right here in the center. Anybody, you'd say, I need to give my life to Jesus tonight. Right here to my right. Anybody at all, you'd say, I need to give my life to Jesus tonight. Just wave at me so we know who you are. Anyone over here, you say, I need to give my life to Jesus tonight. All right, you've lifted your hand. I've told you it's going to take some courage. Come right now. I'm going to walk down this platform. I'm going to meet with you. We're going to pray what's called a sinner's prayer. And in just a few moments, we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to believe God for breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just stand right here. Praise God. Praise God. There were some others in the back. They're still coming. Anyone else? Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you say, I need to be in that prayer tonight. Then just come right now. Let that courage come in you and just come. Come by faith. Come and receive Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? There's still time. There's still time. Praise God. Church, would you stretch forth your hand for those who are receiving Jesus tonight? Here at the altar, can you just take your hands like this and lift them high? It's actually a sign of surrender. It's where we're surrendering our lives to Jesus. I like to say this. If I was a police officer and I came to your house and I pointed a gun, what would you do? Whoa. You'd surrender yourself to the authority. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're not just praying some prayer casually. We're surrendering our lives to His Lordship, His authority, to where we're no longer going to be dictated by the sins and the pleasures of this world. We're going to live lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and be dictated by the power of God that is at work within us. And when we pray this prayer, the power of God comes. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. God removes all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings. As far as the east is to the west, the Bible says He removes our transgressions, our sins from us. He remembers them no more. That's awesome, isn't it? It's amazing. Church, stretch forth your hand. Let's pray tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, in this holy moment, I give you my life. I surrender my heart. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me, to wash me of all my sins, all my wrongdoings, everything that has separated me from your holy presence. Lord, I repent and I apply the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave your only son for me. And I receive him tonight with a word of confession spoken from my heart. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Take control. Be Lord of my life. From this day forward, I will walk with you. I will follow you. So I ask you tonight, fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Church, go ahead and put your hands together for a moment tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.